arguing with whether or not you cook. I'm just curious what you meant. Like, would you have a
What are the McKenna specialties?
Well, they like tacos, sloppy joes, chicken thighs in a variety of ways. Usually I do one thing in the slow cooker.
Chicken thighs, not chicken breasts?
No, I hate chicken breasts. They're so flavorless. Okay. We're thigh people. We don't ever. Yeah,
breasts are a lot more flavorless. And they're more expensive.
Yeah.
But they're supposedly better for you.
I mean, there's just a lot of meat there.
Well, the problem is there's no fat in them. And no flavor. Which is why they're better for you. So they're not as satisfying. But if you eat a thigh that's tender and delicious, then...
Plus, then you get to say, I ate a thigh.
Do you want to say that? All right, well, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning and giving, like, cooking tips now. what do you want to eat?
Yeah.
I like chicken wings. I'm a chicken wing guy. Basically because they're usually covered in, like, sauce or flavoring. It's it's the chicken wing is kind of just the vehicle to get the sauce or flavoring.
Do you make your own chicken wings?
Sometimes I have.
No, I have never tried, but I have a recipe sitting out to try.
Okay.
Wings.
I've heard that they are notoriously difficult to cook.
They're just tiny, you know.
Right, so like you can get dried out really fast, or like not cook evenly. Yeah.
Well, Katie's not here today, unfortunately. Yes, she's
who is here?
Jenny McKenna is here.
Who else is here?
And Pastor David. And this is Patrick Nosrov. We didn't do introductions. our listeners got it. You know, they know who we are, right? You guys got it. Yes.
Yeah, we're all here.
Well, welcome back. We're happy to have you. Jenny, welcome back to the podcast.
Yeah.
Second time guest.
Yes, I'm happy to be here.
Yes.
Long-time listener, second-time guest.
Yes. Yeah. When Katie, we found out Katie couldn't be here, she's with her husband at the hospital right now. Nothing's serious.
We hope. We don't know.
We don't
know.
To our knowledge, nothing is serious. Potentially kidney stones or appendicitis.
I don't know that we need to reveal his medical history on the podcast.
And, you know, we'll see what he's allergic to, what he's got going on. Yes. Yeah. What's our family history?
He's in room 304.
Right. Yeah. Send cards, flowers.
I'm saying it's, you know, she's gone for a good reason.
I think we would have just assumed. Whatever.
It's fine. We keep rolling. All right, well, we're going to go through some news. It's almost Halloween. Jenny, is your family a Halloween family?
We are definitely a Halloween family. Okay. Everyone dresses up. We have everybody over. We have all sorts of...
Like you have a party?
Oh, yeah. So Cassie and her friends are all going to be Winnie the Pooh characters. Middle child and all the teenagers are going to be Men in Black. So they're wearing suits and they're going to run around the neighborhood. High schoolers, we don't know yet.
Okay.
So they actually do like group themed costumes.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
Were you the driving force in this, or is this something that your kids like initiated?
Well, they spent a solid 4 years each in costumes when they were young, so this has always been something.
And you guys as a family have done themed costumes before.
Oh, yes.
So, always. 4 years each, like they were just in a costume for 4 years straight?
Yeah. Like you go to Walmart, I have Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman with me.
There you go.
I didn't ever make them change out.
Sure.
Yeah. That's great. Do you have Halloween plans here, Pastor David?
I don't know. We'll see. We'll go trick-or-treating. Yeah. Sophia's got a little costume.
She's at the trick-or-treating age. William is not.
Yeah, William is not yet, but he'll go around. As long as the weather's good, he'll go around.
Sure. And he's going to be Baby Batman?
Baby Batman.
Yeah. That's cute.
Very nice.
Yes. Timmy and I are dressing up in a themed costume. My wife is not super into Halloween. She's not anti. Mm-hmm. She just doesn't really care.
Yeah.
What are we going to be?
So we are from the Avengers Endgame movie. Timmy is going to has a little raccoon outfit. So he will be Rocket, and I will be Fat Thor.
That's going to be awesome.
So just basically a bathrobe and disheveled hair. It's kind of like a daily.
So Patrick's wearing his.
This is not that big of a leap. I have a hammer. So
you should have just made Timmy your hammer.
That's true. That's a good idea. It was tough to make a costume this year, so I just bought some stuff at a thrift store, and we ordered him a costume online. So,
there you go.
Sounds perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Jenny, I'm glad you're here, because I have another fellow horror movie fan. I know Katie and Pastor David are not super into the horror movies.
Whatever.
Yeah. But Jenny and I both like them. So the World Clown Association...
I'm glad you're here just because you're you, Jenny. Well, I don't need you to fill some void.
Okay. The World Clown Association complains...
Wait, World Clown Association?
Uh-huh.
All right.
The WCA, obviously.
We're not going to talk about that at all. All right.
Complains that the movie It is hurting real life clowns.
Sure.
I think people have always been afraid of clowns.
Yeah.
Back to Poltergeist, that little clown. I'm still afraid of that clown. The doll.
Do you guys have fears of clowns?
They're creepy.
Like
but I'm not like afraid of them.
Well, I'm not afraid of them, but
I'm an adult, so
I think an adult. There are plenty of adults who are afraid of them. I worry a little bit.
So I take it you did not have clowns at your kids' birthday parties.
Never.
No.
Yeah.
Not something I'm interested in.
Now, you have seen the movie It, though, right?
Yes.
I've seen the first one. I've not seen part two.
I have not seen part two either. Yeah. I'm waiting for it to come out so I can watch it at home.
Yeah. clowns are just scary. I don't think the movie It is really making clowns scary. I mean, I think the idea that they're clowns is pretty scary.
Yeah, this would be like the National Bird Association complaining that birds made people, you know, afraid of birds.
Okay, I'm still like, afraid of birds.
Right.
That
well, the difference though is that birds aren't naturally scary.
Clowns are naturally scary.
Exactly. I'm saying, like, the movie...
Birds are not.
Birds are not naturally scary. Yeah, this would be, like, the National, like, Werewolf Association. Complaining
well, I think they should embrace it and get hired more to be scary clowns.
Yeah, I think so, too.
There's like, They need to go where the demand is.
Yeah. Did this make the news in Texas for a while in South Carolina?
Yes.
There was, like, a clown that was doing, like, the It thing. And, yes. Like, I don't think they actually ever hurt anyone, but
they were like lurking in woods and creeping at people.
And I'm not even sure this is true. This is probably, I think it's more like the Satanism of the 90s. It's like just hysteria. I don't think. Yeah.
You don't think clowns are true?
I don't think people were really seeing clowns out there in the woods. I think there was mass hysteria.
I mean, there was evidence that this was happening in South Carolina.
I like to see this evidence, okay? Mm-hmm. Was there a giant footprint in the ground?
No, it was like
the sound of a horn just honking in the distance. Like,
across the meadows.
Yeah. All that was left is a balloon animal on my front porch. My ring captured.
I think it was witness testimony.
Yeah, witness testimony.
Yeah, I again sound it's mass hysteria. They're inventing things that they're seeing in their minds. Stephen King, author of the book It, says, the clowns are mad at me. Sorry. Most are great, but kids have been always scared of clowns.
Yes.
Don't kill the messengers for the message.
Sure.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I love him.
Me too. I'm a big Stephen King fan. I loved him in high school.
I have zero opinion on him.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah.
You can use ours.
It's one of the few things in the world that I think I have zero opinion on.
Yeah. They're saying the Multiple Clown Association is saying, look, people are now canceling their clown performances at schools and libraries because kids are afraid. But I think kids would be afraid anyway.
I feel like the clowns could just... you know, find another way to do the same thing. Like, you could go on stage without...
The scary makeup.
Without the scary makeup and still do the jokes and the squirty flower thing. And
yeah.
I'll even let you wear the big shoes. I don't think anybody's afraid of the big shoes.
Now, as a kid...
Maybe the hair.
I remember I went to, like, YMCA daycare during the summer, and we went to a clown museum, and I did really like it.
There's a clown museum.
Oh, yeah, in San Antonio. And it made me want to, like, be a clown as a kid. Because it was like, it looks so fun.
Well, I lived in San Antonio for 5 years.
There is a clown museum. There's a clown museum. I don't know what to tell you.
Okay. Did you hear about some train tracks that are supposedly haunted?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's
I've kind of been living under the assumption that Patrick made that up when he told us about it.
So. No, I did a ghost tour thing one time.
Yeah. They didn't go to the clown? It seems like the clown museum would be a perfect place.
It may or may not still exist, but it was there. I did go to the circus, too, and I loved the circus as a kid.
Was there actually a clown museum, or did they just, like, take you to another room of the YMCA and, like, have some clown stuff on the wall? I'm like, here, kids, it's the clown museum.
There was a clown museum, okay? I've been there.
I think this is just mass hysteria. I think Patrick's just seeing what he wanted to
listen.
Okay. All right, we're moving on to our main topics here. This is breaking news. This is actually just from a few days ago.
All right. So it'll be a week or so old. But
so, yeah. For the podcast, that is...
As breaking as it's going to get.
As quick as we can do it. John MacArthur. Do you know who John MacArthur is?
I do not.
I do only because you talked to me about this.
Okay. He is a...
Not a general from World War II. World War II? MacArthur was definitely a general.
Yes.
I don't know what war.
Why not?
Yes, probably mass hysteria. Yes. All right, well, John MacArthur, he is a evangelical pastor, preacher, writer. He's written many, many books. You know, he's pretty famous in those worlds, maybe not famous in ours. He's 80 years old. He's an old man.
80? Wow. Yes. Okay.
And there's nothing wrong with being old.
We're
all getting older.
I am every moment.
Yes. John MacArthur, at a conference here... This was like a 50-year anniversary conference for him. Let me get the name here for you.
50 years for
his
him?
His ordination? Or like
yeah, 50, celebrating 50 years of ministry called the Truth Matters Conference. Truth Matters Conference.
Yikes.
All right, so they had the panelists, one was with MacArthur. We're going to make a word association game.
Oh.
Okay, so
can we play a word association game?
Clowns.
Hilarious.
So that's your word association. So MacArthur... they give you two words to respond to their word association.
Okay.
So here's the word association. You give me two words back.
All right.
So the first words MacArthur and the panel were given was Beth Moore. Now, you're familiar with Beth Moore.
I am.
Yes.
Yeah, Beth Moore, also an evangelical.
Mm-hmm. Grew up in the Lutheran Church, though.
Okay.
Missouri Synod.
And though most evangelicals do not ordinate women, so she's not a pastor, but she
is ordained.
Yeah. Whatever.
Ordinate?
You know, it's been a long day.
Fair enough.
So... though she's not a pastor, she is certainly a Christian speaker and presenter. She has honed her craft speaking in front of groups of people.
And releases a lot of like adult curricula and stuff like that.
Yeah. A lot of Bible studies.
Yeah, most of it is certainly geared towards women, but it's not specifically for women.
Sure.
It's not a, it's not just about women's issues and things like that.
Yeah.
So given Beth MacArthur, his two-word response
John MacArthur. Gave him the words Beth Moore.
Whatever. Beth Moore.
Just keeping us all on track.
There we go. His two-word response was, go home.
Yikes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
that was super harsh.
The audience laughed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, laughed?
No, they seemed to be
really
into it. They were into it.
Okay,
no,
so they thought this was a clever
I watched a video of this, and I can't say from the crowd. I only see a bit of it, but it's basically entirely male heads looking at two guys on stage. And it's only a small portion of the audience, so I can't say who else was there. But so it's from my perspective, it was a bunch of dudes laughing at criticizing Beth Moore.
Who's a female leader. Speaker, teacher of some sort.
And then the other man on the panel, I can't remember his name, accused her of being a narcissist because of her preaching style. Yes.
I've never really seen her preach, so whether or not she's a narcissist, I can't speak to that. But I don't find it be a whole lot of joy in laughing at someone.
I mean, I think she sends a good message to a lot of people in a way that they can relate to.
Yeah,
So, yeah, for a conference like that to talk about her that way is not...
Yeah.
Even if you disagree with her, right? I mean, there are plenty of people that I disagree with, theologically, politically, whatever that might be. But for me to just, like, be there as a figure, and a leader in a church and a faith movement, and just say, oh, just go home, as if I can completely dismiss a sister in Christ or a brother in Christ in that way. I mean, that's
well,
it's not
helping
anybody.
The point of a word association game is to get your gut reaction to something quickly, right? So my question is, do you think he regrets saying that? Like, did it just come out? Did they plan it? Like, do you think he would say something else
was
if
it
he
a
could?
Staged word association?
Right, like, was it?
Now, this video that I watched.
You say this.
Yes.
Is 7 minutes long.
Wow.
Okay,
so he goes on to explain why he said go home.
Excellent.
So this is not like, and then we move on to the next word association. No, he goes into it. And basically...
So what's his argument?
Well, he launched into a thing here about how the church is caving into women preachers.
Caving into women preachers. Because in 2,000 years, we've got a handful of them. Okay.
And has compared her to a TV jewelry salesperson.
Wow.
And went on QVC.
Yeah, QVC. Nice. Went on to criticize the hashtag MeToo movement.
Yikes.
Yeah, so he does say, you know, like, just because, you know, you're charismatic, just because you're personable, just because you're, like, a saleswoman does not mean you should be a pastor. And I would agree.
Yeah, sure.
But that's, I don't think that's why. Yeah.
Just being charismatic does not make you a pastor.
Agreed. Yeah.
I think the Lutheran Church is evidence that there are plenty of people who are not charismatic and who become
pastors.
And
some other denominations, too.
Sure. I'm only going to make fun of my own, right? Yeah, I think we can get, I guess, on board with that. But even that, I'm like,
really old-fashioned.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously...
It's not keeping current with...
Obviously, his theology does not allow for women leadership in the church, which you can take that stance. I think it's a misreading of Scripture and a misunderstanding of how God is intending the gifts of the people to be used, but you can take that stance.
Sure.
But this just seems to be particularly combative and... just hurtful. Like, it just seems like I'm attacking someone who I disagree with because I know I'll get a laugh. That's what it feels like.
Yeah, and especially singling out one person within this movement.
Yeah, sure.
And who's not there, who can't defend herself. And it's not even like against like the concept of female pastors. It's about Beth Moore, this one person who, whether you like her or dislike her, whether you're into her writings, into her teachings or not, has clearly done quite a bit for the kingdom of God and is continuing to do so. I mean, so...
Has she spoken out? Has she
responded? I'm trying to load her Twitter right now.
Okay.
So
I'm just curious.
What's the
Twitterverse
got to say
about
it?
Well, while her Twitter is loading, I will give you what other people have tweeted in response.
Tweeted?
It has not been kind to John MacArthur.
Okay.
Yeah. Has it been kind to Beth Moore?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Most people are pretty kind to Beth Moore about
this. I'm sure some people jumped on his bandwagon and supported him.
I'm sure some people did. I bet many of those people are not super...
on Twitter?
Yeah, they're not the Twitter crowd.
It could be true, yeah.
Southern Baptist President J.D. Greer said on Twitter, she's welcome in our home anytime.
All right.
So that's nice. And, so that's good.
And would the Southern Baptist ordain women?
They do not.
But they would allow her leadership and her teaching, et cetera, but not as a pastor. Okay.
Yes. Nicole Nordeman, Christian music artist. Are you familiar?
Nope.
She's pretty good. This clip is misogyny at its finest. All that good old boy chortling and backslapping made my stomach sick. What a disappointing witness for a man whose influence has been so broad. Sometimes God lets us tell on ourselves.
Ooh.
Hey, yeah. Being that's, feisty. Yes.
And, in a lot of ways, I would say that that's probably guilty of the same stuff that he was guilty of originally. I think she's poking or pointing out some important things, but then moves from pointing out an important disagreement to, just kind of attacking the person.
Yeah. I see this is more of a different, because she's coming, I'm attacking you for what you said, not for you for just going out there for your gender.
Yeah.
So I do see that there is a difference in these two things. Personally, I'd say, she is saying, you said these things, and that made me sick, versus you saying anything in front of a group of people makes
me
sick. Right.
I think that part is fine. I think sometimes God lets us, or makes us tell on ourselves, however she phrased that. Yeah. I think that was perhaps more of a jab than was necessary. I think the blow was made, and then
went a little too far.
The extra line was thrown in there for effect.
All right, so I'm scrolling through her Twitter.
For applause on her side.
Right now. She tweets a lot, so this is tough.
Beth Moore tweets a lot.
Yeah. Beth Moore. I did not surrender to a calling of man when I was 18 years old. I surrendered to a calling of God. It never occurs to me for a second to not fulfill it. I will follow Jesus and Jesus alone all the way home, and I will see his beautiful face and proclaim, worthy is the Lamb. So,
yeah.
I think a pretty generous statement there. She's also recently tweeted, hey, let's just cool it towards the slander on J-Mac is what she called him.
Excellent. Oh, I'm sure he loved that.
Doesn't honor God. Let's move on. And so I think she's responded to this critique.
I think that's a helpful thing to hear too. I mean, she's clearly identifying this call is not from humanity. Like, this is my call from God, and whether or not the church is going to ordain me, I'm going to proclaim what I believe to be true. And that's a powerful witness that I think we could learn a lot from, because I think many of us would say, no, you have to, you have to have a certain criteria before you are allowed to do that, when really we're all called to proclaim our faith in a variety of ways. And she's found a way to do that more professionally than just in her own private life.
Yeah. No, I think that's the right response from Beth Moore, about as good as you can get of, this is what she's following and what can you do?
I mean, right.
Yeah.
She didn't make it worse.
She did not.
She stayed out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So any thoughts, any more about kind of this topic before we move on to the next one?
Yeah, there was a thing that came out recently, and I don't have the article, so this is going to be a
mass
hysteria, right? But there's a new archaeological evidence that's coming out that women were bishops in the church as late as, like, the 400s, which would be, like, a big... So this would be, like, at the time of, like, the Council of Nicaea and things like that. So when the church was really being founded, when we were really... assumed everything was already being led by men exclusively. Mm. There are probably still women playing very important roles in their local communities of churches. And whether or not that correlates with what we would designate as women in ministry today, right. But I think it's interesting evidence when most churches will point towards the church tradition of not ordaining women as a key component. That tradition seems to be being challenged by evidence within Christianity itself. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is just fun.
Yeah. We'll move on to another topic.
All right. Patrick doesn't want to talk about
it. Yeah. He's like, yeah.
Oh, I thought that was the period at the end of that sentence.
Oh, sure. That could be the period. That's fine. Yeah.
That
I would have called it an exclamation point, but whatever. It could be a period.
Okay.
That's fine.
Okay. It could.
I like exclamation points.
It's more like the definitive period, not just the period. Oh, okay. So it's that period. So,
Oh, the definitive one.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So.
I'm going to start circling my periods and labeling them as regular and definitive. Do you think we could we come up with an alternative symbol for a definitive period?
Yeah.
Like, if we just have a regular period, what would be the symbol for a definitive period?
Yeah.
Would it be like a bolded
period?
Well,
now we have like an emoji world.
An italicized,
so I think you just
period.
Want to put more emojis attached to your professional writings.
No, I think I want to de-emojify.
Okay. I mean, there's
de-emojify.
Yeah.
There's already a whole movie about this.
About emojis or about definitive
the emoji
period?
Yeah, the emoji movie.
Right. There's that.
Yeah.
Did either of you see the emoji movie?
I did. It was not very good.
Okay. I can't imagine it being good at all.
I mean, I like kids' movies. It's
title alone.
It's not that good.
Yes.
Was the premise just, here are these emojis, and they
I forget, they
things?
Had to break out, and they had different feelings.
Sure.
But they were kind of funny walking around.
Was like, the poop emoji in it?
Of course
yes.
It was
Sir Patrick be. Stewart plays the poop emoji.
Wow. How far we have fallen. Okay.
Captain Picard himself as poop emoji.
As poop emoji.
I think it's an animated movie. He's not in like a costume.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
All right, well, moving on here. finisher best emoji here.
Right.
I like the shrug emoji. That's the one I use probably most.
The shrug? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Why Christian music's biggest stars refuse to change their tune for the Trump era. This is from CNN.
Okay.
So like an opinion article here. Are you familiar with contemporary Christian music?
To an extent.
Some.
Yeah.
Some,
yeah. I mean, we sing some here, and I listen to it periodically. Yeah. I'm not a radio listener, so I'm not usually listening to the new radio stuff. But.
Yeah, I'm not listening to like K-Love or whatever those things are.
Right. I'm a podcast listener, so...
I just listen to this on repeat.
Yeah, on Sunday on repeat everywhere I go.
I just listen to my kids fight in the car, so...
Okay, yeah. Oh, that sounds like fun for you, yeah.
But I am familiar with people in the Christian contemporary Christian music world. You know, I use a lot of their stuff for youth ministry. Mm-hmm. And so, I try to keep my ear to the ground as best as possible. All right, so this is...
It'd probably be more effective if your ear was off the ground. You'd be able to hear more, but...
You know, like, hear coming. Like, oh, it sounds like horses. Yeah. All right, this is an opinion article here from CNN. So first they're starting about Torrin Wells. Do you know who this is?
I do not.
Yeah, we saw him at a thing. We did, yes. We were at the ELCA's National Youth Gathering.
He didn't play.
And he played. And we referred to him as...
Christian Bruno Mars.
That's it. Yeah, Christian Bruno Mars.
And I think that's it, the thing fits. He's a pretty decent musician there. Yeah. Really, really fun. He did like our photo on Instagram.
Ooh, about it. Yes.
I tagged him in it and he liked it.
Insta-famous.
Back.
Excellent.
So
well done.
Lord of Life Youth has got a pretty nice little Instagram bump. So friend of the podcast, Orin Wells,
that's
I assume.
Right. There you go.
Speak
kindly of him.
So CNN interviewed him. So he's sung about a lot of things, and they say, well, he won't criticize hot-button political issues and certainly won't criticize President Trump. All right, so this is a quote from Torrin Wells. I would never oppose a president because I believe in what Scripture says about giving honor to authority. That doesn't mean that I agree with everything, but I believe that an attack on authority anywhere is an attack on authority everywhere. What are our thoughts on this first quote here?
Wow, yeah. He's certainly trying to walk a tightrope.
Sure.
I'll give him that. I don't agree with everything, but I'm not going to attack it publicly. I think there are probably a lot of people in churches who feel this way, who don't think that we're... And I think some of this comes out of a baby boomer generation of like, you know, you have to trust the institution. Versus like, I don't remember what generation came up during the 70s. Or is that the boomers that came up in this? I don't know.
No, they came up in like the 40s.
Right? Okay, so boomers, so whatever generation was after them, you know, when you have kind of like the Nixon era and things where every institution, it seemed, was failing them and betraying them around. And so it kind of stems from some of that. We just can't challenge this authority. And I personally don't buy that. I don't. I think that Jesus gives a clear model of challenging authority. I mean, certainly, I mean, we're supposed to honor our leaders because we do believe that God is ultimately in control of things, but that doesn't mean that we're supposed to stand idly by while something that we believe is unfaithful is happening, right? And there's a line that we can walk there.
I think I'm close to that because I do think you need to respect the office of the presidency and you don't have to be nasty and ugly, but over half the country chose that person. So we need to respect that and be respectful, but you can vote, you can rally, you can do things. You don't have to take to Twitter.
You can speak your mind, right?
That's true.
Yeah. I like that respecting the office thing, because that's an important distinction that I think we've lost in our culture a lot, that you don't have to always hold the individual in the highest esteem, but you still
I think that word authority is what bothers me in that statement.
Mm. Yeah, and this is a common thing, this Romans 13 of like, God established the authorities and institutions and basically respect them.
Right.
But, you know, mostly people who quote those things are never really being like, America should go back to England and secede, you know, go back to the old authority that used to be in charge.
Well, here's, I guess, why it bothers me. Authority, like, we can change, like, we vote for what we want. So the person in that office does not have authority to tell me as many things as they think they can.
I would agree. So the authority in the United States is the people, not the president. Mm-hmm. And so that is who is in charge.
So I think that's what's rubbing me about that word being used like that. But
and obviously his last sentence here, I believe that an attack on authority anywhere is an attack on authority everywhere, I think is... foolish. Yeah. I mean, that's by saying like, I think an attack on like a corrupt principal or police officer or boss somewhere is an attack on every authority figure everywhere is nonsense. I mean, like, I think like, again, respect matters, but this idea of like respecting a position that is disrespectful towards you back, I think can be, it's not a tightrope that I think should be walked.
Yeah. And I'm perhaps going to paint Torrin with an unfair brush, and I don't want to do that. But I think it's reasonable to say, you know, he is in the business that relies on people buying his product. And we live in an era where very little can cause people to react very harshly to any given mm-hmm. product. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, what did we witness after, what was it, Nike, who gave Colin Kaepernick that mm-hmm. that ad or the whatever deal, right?
Yeah.
After
endorsement.
The endorsement, that's yeah. the word I'm looking for. They gave him the endorsement and people wanted to burn their Nikes or whatever.
And some did.
And some did, right?
Mass hysteria.
Sure. It did actually happen. Just
due to mass hysteria.
I think, you know, a Christian artist in this, or a Christian musician, not that they're not artists, just, mm-hmm. you know, to clarify, a Christian musician does run the risk of, am I going to risk my career mm-hmm. by criticizing a particular political position? And is my career worth that? And, yeah. and I think they have to weigh that option. And mm-hmm. I think some would probably say yes. And many would say, no, my career is going to be hopefully going long after any particular president has come and sure. or gone. And so, yeah.
Didn't the Dixie Chicks, I know they're not Christian, but didn't they criticize George W.
Yes.
once? And
they
then,
did.
Like,
yeah,
they fell
that.
Out of favor for a long time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that they did say, we're ashamed he's from Texas, because they were also
yeah,
from Texas.
That's
and that,
what it
that was.
Was
the statement, and that. That mm-hmm. basically, you know, they were up and comers in the country music scene.
It killed them.
And then it just plummeted their influence. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, it's undeniable that most Christian music is going to be consumed by an evangelical crowd, mm-hmm. and even a white evangelical crowd, and 81% of them did vote for President Donald Trump. Those of it.
Yep.
So, I mean, like, that's their audience, their market. So, coming out against the president is probably going to be the tough sell, right? Like, that's going
right.
to be – and you're not just talking about your own career. You're talking about your backup dancer's career, your musicians that you mm-hmm. work with careers, all these people that you that are on your train potentially getting derailed because of you taking a political stance. So,
right.
I think now, is that – you know, could we say – now is the time to take that fame to do something good with it. I think that's easy for me to say when I don't have to have that risk
right.
involved.
Sure. It's a big risk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, how often do we hear from, you know, usually the evangelical community, but we hear we don't want celebrities to, you know,
weigh in
on, like, mm-hmm. just be a celebrity. Like, we don't care about your political opinion or whatever. I mean, we hear that through Hollywood
sure.
all the time.
Yeah.
And so there's definitely evidence that people don't want to hear what they have to say, even if what they
sure.
have to say might be. But
maybe being a Christian artist, that kind of lines them up more than
yeah.
just being an actor in
yeah.
whatever movie.
I think what they really mean by that is, I don't want to hear your opinion if it's different than my own.
Well, I think that's
yeah.
true of this, too.
Yeah.
Right? I think that if Torin wanted to speak out in favor of the president, he probably could and not risk anything in his career.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, if he didn't want to speak out in favor of the president, then that is where the risk would be for him and his particular
yeah.
Lot.
So I do think CNN is asking, like, we want Christian artists to come out saying the things we want them to say.
Sure.
Right.
Not
yeah.
not to be politically
mm-hmm.
engaged, but to be politically engaged in the way we
yeah.
want them
yeah.
to be.
Right.
And I'm sure, yeah, and then the more conservative ones would say, like, we don't want celebrities telling us what they think
mm-hmm.
unless it agrees with what we already
yeah.
think. That's mm-hmm. what people want. I mean, people
on
want
both sides. Yep.
Yeah, those things to happen. What I do like about this idea is, I think our culture, even in a declining Christian culture, where Christianity no longer has the same amount of influence, the same amount
sure.
of adherence here in the United States, that a secular organization like CNN is asking, hey, Christians, we want you
mm-hmm.
to act like Christians. We're really desperate for people to say, if people are being marginalized, if people are being exploited, if people are being criticized by their race, their gender, their sexuality, we want Christians to come to their defense. We want to mm-hmm. to hear it from the Christian church. And so I do think that this is, in the best part, a call for Christians to say, like, stand up against things that are wrong. Now, we may all disagree on things that are wrong.
I was
going to
say, I think a lot of the Christian community would disagree with CNN on what CNN is
mm-hmm.
defining
sure.
as wrong. I think
right.
therein lies
yeah.
the...
And I think that's probably the hardest thing. Is used to be we could kind of agree one way or the other on things that are wrong, and now every Christian everywhere has kind of got their own opinions.
Yeah.
You know, but mm-hmm. I think any situation where racism, sexism is involved, hopefully the Christian church is saying that's wrong. But we just saw with John MacArthur, it's not the case. You know,
right.
It's not, and this isn't even just like, should women be pastors? It should women be like respected as individuals sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's not the case. All right. Well, let's move on here to this article. Because I think this is interesting. For some CCM artists, they're already offering the best solution for political battles.
Sorry, what's a CCM? Or?
Contemporary Christian Musician.
Got it. Okay.
Are offering the best solution for political battles in the Trump era, and that is Jesus. by promoting Jesus, they're saying that is combating what is going on politically in our world right now.
Okay.
So what do we think about that?
I'm always in favor of promoting Jesus. I think that's, you know, I think you can get a lot further in confronting people in a meaningful way if you confront them with realities of faith in Scripture. If you're pointing back to words that Jesus said or pointing back to places where, you know, this has been an impact in the church before, I think that's more meaningful than just saying you should vote this way or shouldn't vote that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because realistically, particularly in the United States, where we only have, you know, two parties to choose from in any given election for the most part, nobody's going to be perfect.
Yeah.
On both sides, right, people are going to be flawed. And, you know, Jesus never promises that we're going to have a president that brings us healing and restoration. Jesus promises that Jesus is going to do that.
Yeah.
And so I think it's irresponsible, even as a Christian leader, to say you should vote this way or that way. I think it's important to say these are the words of Jesus, and these words should impact and guide how you interact with politics in your faith. And you have to determine what that looks like. Because, you know, if we take an issue like poverty and welfare, for instance, right? Mm. It's a reasonable response to hear Jesus' words and say, okay, the government should be doing more to provide for people in poverty, and more people should be able to have access to welfare, et cetera, et cetera. It would also be a reasonable response to say the government has no role in doing that, but I, as a person of faith, should be doing these things. And, you know, both of those are opposed politically, but could both be aligned with Jesus' vision.
Mm-hmm. The article will go on to state, and I think this is important here, because it does talk about some biblical things here. Like, John the Baptist is a guy who spoke out against the governing authorities of the time.
Brood of vipers, I believe he refers to them as, yeah.
And against not only the religious authorities, but the secular authorities in Rome, and was going to be beheaded because of it.
Was beheaded.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, he was beheaded because of it. And there we also see, you know, like... Christian examples of people who have stood up to the authority of the time, potentially lost their lives, like Martin Luther King Jr., Dietrich Bonhoeffer, stood up against injustice at the detriment to their own life, not just their livelihood, but their own life. And so I think this is an interesting calling. So should Christian artists be engaged with what's going on at, like, the border, for instance? Controversial, yet obviously what's going on down there does not line up with Christian values. Regardless of, I think, whatever side you want, you want some resolution down there that is not what's currently happening.
Mm-hmm.
You want a better system in place. It's not what's currently happening.
Sure.
And hopefully, every Christian says, even if I am against illegal immigration, I want people to be treated with compassion and dignity.
Sure.
And if I don't see that, that should be a major red flag for me. Even if I want them to go to jail, or I want them to be deported or sent back where they came from, I don't want people to be treated without compassion or dignity.
Yeah.
So,
I think it's a worthy calling to say, yeah, Christian artists should be engaged in places where we see injustice or we see people being marginalized and oppressed. But I also think that if we're going to call on Christian artists and celebrities to do that, then we should be doing that ourselves. And I can't just be sitting in my armchair saying, well, why aren't the Christian artists doing more about this unless I'm willing to, you know, to risk something for myself.
I mean, it's asking a lot.
Sure.
Like you were talking about the people on their train. You also have to think about the safety of their families if they really start doing things. There aren't a lot of people that will take that risk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, again, it's very easy for anyone else to say, like, why doesn't X do something about this problem? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, I think it was unfair for, like, the Islamic community after 9/11 to be like, how come every Muslim everywhere has not decried terrorism? Like, I think that's unfair. Like, every time something happens, like, every Muslim has to say, like, I'm against terrorism.
This is
bad. Like, we have to go to every Muslim celebrity and be like, what do you think? Is this bad or not? Just, I think that's not very fair to constantly harp on that. I don't think it's fair to go to every Christian everywhere to say, like, why are you not speaking out against every social ill all the time? You know, all of us have so much, you know, investment that we can make on any one topic.
Sure.
And none of us can be engaged in every topic.
Right.
You know, all of us are having to pick and choose. This is what's awesome about having a body of Christ, is the body of Christ can handle every topic potentially, but that doesn't mean every individual within that body of Christ can handle every topic individually.
Sure.
So I do think that there's something to be said there. But I do stand by, I think our world is hungry for Christian values. And if our Christian values, the best we can offer is ignoring social ills, what's going on, I don't think that's going to help us anywhere.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to get the Christian message really out there beyond preaching to a diminishing choir. And I think that is really where America is going to be headed. And one thing that I did like that they said, putting our hope in Jesus, is going to be contrary to both parties, saying we put our hope in whoever's president, whatever electorate we can get. Say if we can just get the right people in power, things in my world will be fixed. And that's just not the case.
Yeah.
Even the best possible president is not going to fix the issues that are in your world.
Right.
And so we need Jesus to for those things.
Yeah. This is one of the reasons that I love the organization Lutheran World Relief. It's hard to say three times fast. But one of the things that they're really great at is going into places where people are struggling, whether that's long-term, you know, economic growth that they're working towards, or going into disaster areas, things like that, and helping with rehabilitation. But their main goal is simply to be Jesus to people. Mm-hmm. Not to tell people about Jesus, mm-hmm. but to be Jesus, mm-hmm. and to provide for their basic human needs and their basic human rights, and to care for them in moments of disaster and things like that. And I think that's a really meaningful witness, that I'm not here just to tell you, hey, Jesus loves you, and then walk away.
Yeah.
I'm here to show you through the things that I'm doing that there is a God who loves you and cares for you, and that's why I'm here being a part of this.
Mm-hmm. The article here kind of ends with a quote here from Reverend Jim Wallace that I like. He's an activist evangelical pastor.
Yeah.
And he says...
he wrote a book with a clever title, didn't he? Something like How the Left Get It Wrong and the Right Don't Get It, or something like that.
Something like that.
The Right Get It Wrong and the Left Don't Get It. That's yeah. What, yeah. It was clever.
Yeah.
I like the title.
So by separating, politics and faith, he says, that would be like Jesus saying, I was going to talk to you today about the poor, the hungry, and the stranger, but I'm not going to because that could seem political. And I do think that's a powerful thing for us to remember. Like, sure. That just because our world has been politicized doesn't mean every issue should be political.
Yeah.
That we should say, like, because concern for the poor in our world should not be a political statement. Concern for the stranger in our country should not be a political statement. It is, but it I think is, the Christian yeah. church should stand up and say, like, we're not falling for politics. We are aligning ourselves behind Jesus. And he is saying these are things important. So we are concerned about those things, regardless of what either party has to say about those things. All right, is anybody watching anything or reading anything good lately that they want to talk about?
It's not that new, but I just watched yesterday about Beatles disappeared from the world. It is really a beautiful movie.
Okay.
Yeah. The ending is so lovely.
Yeah.
Okay.
I recommend it.
No spoilers.
I can't say it because... But anyway.
Does it involve, like, the ending? Does it involve the song yesterday?
I'm not going to tell you anything.
I'm just saying that it has a really beautiful kind of recap on it.
It has a very nice sentiment, and it's well done.
Okay. Yesterday. Sounds good. I'm watching Friday Night Lights right now.
Yeah?
It's really good.
Have you seen the series?
The series, yeah.
Yeah, I've watched it.
It's amazing. Season 2 is not good, but then it gets real good after that.
I met someone recently who's from the town that Friday Night Lights is based on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not Dillon, Texas.
Is it Midland?
Yeah.
But I think it's, yeah.
It's near Midland. It's not.
Odessa?
Odessa.
One of those, yeah.
I think it's Odessa. Yeah. Some West Texas in the middle of nowhere towns that high school football is really everything.
Yep.
Yeah.
Have you seen the movie Varsity Blues?
I have.
Okay. Once upon a time. Yep.
It's the same kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot, a lot of Texas football movies out there.
Right.
Sure.
Because Texas football matters. It is Friday Night Lights season for us here in Texas. Yeah.
Yep.
You watch anything, Pastor Ian?
I'm rewatching Seinfeld during, putting William back to bed in the middle of the night. So
The Office was our choice for baby bedtime when we're just up in the middle of the night. Yeah.
Yeah. Amanda's not into it, so it's just something I can watch on my phone on my own. So
yeah,
he can get through half an episode or something before he goes back down. I'm all the way back up to season 5, so I'm getting to the stuff that I really remember, which is fun now.
Well, where can you find us? If you enjoyed what you heard.
If you enjoyed what you heard, or even if you didn't, you can find us at BeyondSundayPodcast.com.
We welcome your comments.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to hear from you.
Even
whatever
if you didn't like it. Yeah.
I mean, this is the second in what we're calling our Faith and Culture series. So we want to know what you think about this and what ideas you might have for future topics. If you see a news story out there that you think would be interesting to have us talk about or... have us not talk about, I guess. That might be good, too. You can send that to beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter. Nope, not Twitter. Facebook, Instagram. Where else are we, Patrick? iTunes.
LinkedIn.
All the things. MySpace. We're everywhere. So, check us out. Share us. Tell your neighbors about us. The whole 9 yards.
There you go.
That's all I got.
Yeah, we welcome all comments.
But if
it's criticism, it's probably just mass hysteria.
Patrick views all criticism as mass hysteria.
Well, I think so. Yeah.
There's no evidence to that. It's mass hysteria. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, Ginny. Thank you so much for filling in.
That was a pleasure to be here.
Ginny was asked 10 minutes before this podcast, hey, you want to come on? We would like another perspective.
Yeah, and she jumped in. She said, more than willing. She said, I can't finally. Wait.
Yes. She said, yes, I'm so excited. Every yes, Wednesday did. I wait.
Yeah. I'm hoping Katie is out this yeah. next Wednesday.
She's just sadly weeping at her desk every week we don't ask her. Thank you for filling in. We appreciate it.
Yeah, we do appreciate it, Jenny. Have a good week, everyone. We will see you next Monday.